Hello and welcome to Heather's podcast. This is episode one of series two. And the reason that I've decided to make it into a second series is partly because the podcast app allowed you to, and also because I haven't actually published a podcast for a year. In fact, literally almost a year to the day. I think it was the 30th of December last time I published a podcast. And so I thought, well, do you know what? There's been a big gap. So let's make this a completely new series and endeavour to be a little bit more regular with recording. The reason I've not published a podcast for a while, just very, very quickly, is, do you know what? 2021 was just a really hectic year. Like lots of stuff personally happened, which I won't get into here. I might talk about in like later podcasts. But so basically just I kept up blogging for most of the year, although probably less regular than I would have liked. But I never felt like I had the inspiration to do a podcast, really. There weren't really any particular topics that I thought, oh, do you know what, that'd be really good to podcast about. I just was really in the headspace. But I really wanted to come on and sort of start afresh and start with the topic that I actually finished for my last podcast of series one with, and that's the New Year diet culture. And actually, more specifically, not the New Year diet culture, but the anti-diet culture that I think we definitely saw a lot of last year, or saw a build-up of last year. And this year really seems to have hit sort of social media far more aggressively, I think. And I'm really conflicted because on the one hand, I am a PT, like part of my job is to help people with their goals. And like really realistically, a lot of people who decide to take up fitness originally decide to take up fitness to lose weight. Now, to be honest, a lot of people sort of start because they want to lose weight and then they fall in love with classes or with lifting or with running or with a sport, just with the process, and their goals might change over time. I personally sort of got into fitness because I wanted to lose weight, and then over time found the other benefits that you get from sort of a fitness regime and eating well, mental health benefits, sleeping benefits, and just general better health and well-being benefits. But generally, I think an awful lot of people do. You don't get many people who have never ever stepped into a gym before, who haven't really exercised at all, coming up to a PT and going, you know what, I really, really want to get into fitness this year because I really want to lift 100 kg and deadlift. Like, it doesn't really happen. So part of my job is to help people with their goals, and whether or not I think actually they should have a different goal or they'd have a better goal out there, the fact of the matter is that a lot of people want to lose weight, and that's okay. And it's one of them great things that you can help people get to that goal, but also find other benefits while reaching that goal, if approached sensibly. On the other hand, I really do agree with the notion that anti-diet culture has, that you shouldn't feel forced to look a certain way, and you shouldn't feel forced to be a certain weight, be a certain size, and you should be able to love your body as it is. But I feel like we've kind of gone from one end of the scale to the other. And we do this in all sorts of things. Like, society does this in general. Something's bad, so we have to go the complete opposite. And we find it really hard as people, I think, to just look for a nice middle ground and accept that just because something's bad, it doesn't mean that it's always bad, or like something's bad in a certain situation, doesn't mean it's always bad, or that we should go the complete and utter opposite. So, back in the 1990s, the early 2000s, if you were around, I was around, like when I was growing up, diet culture was absolutely rife. Supermodels were stick thin. You know, almost all clothes were like a size 8 to 10. If you were 12, you were probably considered fat. And, you know, all the role models, all the people on magazines were super, super stick thin. All articles in magazines were about dieting, about losing weight, about being a certain weight. And curves weren't really celebrated. You know, I've always had like a curvy body from being quite young, sort of like, you know, as soon as I hit puberty, I was always like quite pear-shaped, and I've got quite a large hips, bum, just almost naturally, I guess. And that was really, like when I was growing up, that was completely and utterly not fashionable. And so there was always a lot of pressure to sort of want to look thinner, look smaller, instead of accentuating curves, like is much more sort of almost fashionable now, I guess. It was like hide them and, you know, try and make yourself look as non-feminine almost as possible. So, you know, diet culture, I guess, was rife, and it probably was quite damaging to a lot of people. So the idea now of celebrating different body types, the idea of sort of accepting that not everybody is going to be one type of shape, and that's okay. And in fact, that's normal, and, you know, you should love the skin you're in, is a really good idea. And a really good concept and really useful. But it almost feels like we've gone to this certain point where then if you say that you want to change your shape, that's, you know, against all of these concepts of loving yourself. And, you know, how could you love yourself if you don't, if you want to lose weight? Or how can you love yourself if you want to change your body shape? And then there's a lot of pushing of, you know, why should you tell somebody who's overweight that they should lose weight? And, you know, you shouldn't. Like, it's someone's choice whether they want to lose weight or not. And unless you're a doctor, and I'm not a doctor, I'm never going to tell someone they should lose weight. I think the only person that should be allowed to tell you that you should lose weight is your doctor, because they're going to be telling you the health benefits. And if they tell you that you need to lose weight, then you should probably listen. But generally, it feels like we've gone past the point of sort of only celebrating really, 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 really thin people, really, really skin bodies. And that's a really good thing. But instead of getting to the point where we're like, celebrate everybody's bodies and celebrate everybody's autonomy to decide what they want to do with their bodies, which I think is what the actual goal of the anti-diet body positivity movement was, we appear to have gone to the complete and utter extreme of, if you say that you want to lose weight, you're like being a traitor to that movement, because why don't you just love your body as it is? And if you do love your body as it is and you don't want to change, that's absolutely fine, because quite frankly, you know, the adverts out there from PTs advertising coaching programs, they're not for you. Or maybe they are for you, because you can do an awful lot of those coaching programs and not be looking to lose weight. But if you do want to lose weight, again, you should be allowed to decide that you want to lose weight. And it really doesn't matter why you want to lose weight, because whether you want to lose weight for health benefits, whether you want to lose weight because you want to be stronger, you want to be able to run around after your kids, you want to feel more energetic, whether you just want to lose weight because you aren't happy with your body, and when you look in the mirror you're not happy with it, that's okay. Like, surely the point of body positivity and accepting all body shapes and sizes should be inclusive enough to say that if you're not happy with the skin you're in, that you are allowed to change it. And you shouldn't have to feel bad or guilty or face questions about why you want to change your shape if you want to. So I really support the idea of the anti-diet movement being that you shouldn't want to diet, you shouldn't want to lose weight for any reason that's external to you. So if it's because a friend or a partner or anyone else in society is telling you you should lose weight, listen, unless it's for genuine health reasons, then I don't think that you should feel like you have to. But if it's coming from you, and you want to lose weight, then you should be allowed to think, you know what, I want to lose weight, and so I'm going to look for a way to do it. So I feel like we've gone from sort of the early 2000s, where diet culture was probably toxic, and we've come an awful long way, but we're almost getting to the point, like 22 years later, where the anti-diet culture is almost becoming toxic. I've seen some posts on Facebook, like over the last year, which I get they come from a good place. Ideally, but the way they articulate things and the message is so aggressive that it almost becomes to the point where actually that, for me, feels almost as toxic as diet culture was. So I think my first message from today's podcast, and I think it's very similar to the message that I had in my last podcast back in 2020, was if you want to lose weight, that's absolutely fine. Make it because of a reason that's like specific to you. And don't feel like you have to lose weight because of someone else. But you know what? If you look in the mirror or you put on a pair of trousers and you are not happy with what you see and you would like to change that, don't feel guilted or bad because of any message out there on social media that is sort of fashionable at the moment. You know, if you want to go to the gym and you're out of breath much sooner than you would like and you want to get fitter, do it. Like, you haven't got to justify that to anybody else. Like I say, if you don't want to, you don't have to. And I think that's kind of just like our problem in general. We're not rounded enough. We have to be one thing or another. Like, to be seen on social media and to be gain a following, and I think almost people think to gain customers, they need to go absolutely outrageously in one way or the other because it grabs headlines, because it's almost clickbait. And it's really unfashionable. And probably a downfall for my own business that I can't do that. I'm a history student naturally. I'm a history student by like my degree and everything. And so I naturally have this kind of like need to see both sides of any story. It's never one or the other. It's always kind of a nice in between. And that kind of takes me on to coaching. Because the other thing I've seen a lot of criticism in the last few days is coaches selling their stuff in between Christmas and New Year, selling their programs, selling their products. And do you know what? Like, does anybody ever go online and criticize Tesco's or Asda for selling Christmas food in the run up to Christmas? Or holiday companies selling holidays in between Christmas and New Year? Of course not, because it's just accepted that's what they do. Well, you know what? PTs are like any other business. PTs are a business. They're a small business, and often, they are their own business. But PTs are essentially trying to earn a living. And if you're really good at your business, you know when your peak selling times are. And, coming up to January is a peak selling time for gyms, it's a peak selling time for PTs, because it's when people decide to make a change. Now, that's not preying on the weak or the vulnerable, that's just like a fact of life. There's no more preying on the weak or vulnerable than a holiday company
selling a holiday in January, because people, you know, are coming up to January, it's miserable, there's not much to look forward to, so people look to book holidays. So the idea that they're being, you know, immoral is quite unfair, I think. Now, of course, there are going to be some PTs out there that are literally preying on people. They're preying on people at their most vulnerable. And I would say, you know, anyone who is looking to sell you a juice, sell you a shake, sell you a pill, that claims to, you know, literally make you feel better, you would probably avoid. Fads, you know, people who are selling faddy things, yeah, they probably are preying on people at their weakest. But, you know, there are genuine coaches out there, there are lots of good coaches out there that are literally selling, you know, challenges, as they will throughout the year at various points, because it's something that people want. You know, people do finish eating on Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and feel sluggish and think, do you know what, I would like to feel better. And like, it's a really natural thing. And I think if you think about your own body and you think about it every year, you probably notice you go through cycles, and there are certain points in the year where you start to feel a bit sluggish, overindulge, and you think, I want to make a change. And those sort of times are the best sort of times for you to sign up for coaching, because you've got that kind of incentive and something to start with the momentum. So, you know, I think it's quite unfair to say it's immoral of PTs to sell at this time. Now, I did do a post, and I do continue to think that you shouldn't feel guilty about eating between Christmas and New Year. Like, I have, in the last couple of days, I've definitely started moving more. I'm on a walk at the moment as I record this podcast. I'm trying to get a few more steps in. I'm getting a bit more fresh air, just because I did feel sluggish after like 4 or 5 days of solid eating and not moving very much. I've been for a run, I've been to the gym a couple of times. Again, just to get moving, you know, I started to feel stiff. I enjoy training, I enjoy moving. So it was something I wanted to get back into, it made me feel better. But then I also have continued, while I've started to eat, try and make sure I get like 2 or 3 portions of vegetable salad in a day, a couple of portions of fruit, eating sort of like maybe more structured meals and less grazing. I've continued to, you know, work my way through the Christmas chocolates at night, probably drink a little bit more than I normally do, and that's okay. And it's that kind of, you know, I'm starting to ease myself out of Christmas, but I'm definitely not ready to go back to sort of normal. That having been said, what I have done is I sat down, I thought about goals, I thought about structure of training, I thought about training goals, you know, thinking about what I want to do in the next sort of couple of months, across the whole year. And so I have started to sort of like put my plans in place for maybe not next week, because it's bank holiday on Monday. You know, I'm going back into work. I've been off work for 11 days. That's the longest I've been off for a fair amount of time, to be fair. So next week I'll probably be a bit knackered. I will probably have chocolate in the house still from Christmas. So it's maybe not the best week to decide to sort of like, you know, do a drastic change. But the 10th of January, then I'm definitely sort of going to be ready. I'm going to know what I'm going to be doing, how I'm going to do it. I'm going to have like food in, and I'm going to be ready. And if I didn't think about it now, come the 10th of January, if I didn't think about it until then, I wouldn't start then. And then I maybe wouldn't start for another week or two, and by which point I'd probably have lost momentum. So, you know, I'm very much of the case of, do you know what? You don't want a coach who's going to turn around to you on the 27th of December and go, for fuck's sake, get back onto it, come on. You know, put chocolates down, back onto the treadmill. You don't want that. You want a bit of flexibility. But equally, you know, while you don't necessarily want to be, you know, jumping full into some kind of training regime in that period in between Christmas and New Year, it's a good time to think, it's a good time to plan, it's a good time to prepare, so that after that period you are ready to jump straight on it and you've still got that momentum, you've still got that motivation. And so actually this is a really good time for coaches to sell, for you as a client as well, because if you were thinking about it in between Christmas and New Year, but no PTs, you know, put products out there for you to buy for fear of looking like overzealous dictator PTs, then you'd have no options to help you plan, to help you prepare, to help you think about how you were going to do things. So I think you've got to kind of look at PT selling in between Christmas and New Year much the same way as I think you've got to look at the diet and anti-diet cultures. There's a nice in between. If you're seeing coaches who are telling you that, you know, realistically Christmas is only 2-3 days a year, after that you should be back onto the chicken and broccoli. If you're seeing coaches who think that you should be, you know, back on a treadmill on the 27th, you know, pounding out the kilometres for you to burn off all that Christmas calories. Now, that's not the right kind of mindset. It's not the right kind of message that you want to be being told. They are probably coaches that you would want to avoid. But equally, there are going to be lots of coaches out there that sell really positive messages that will be saying, do you know what, enjoy this period of time. If you want to train, train. If you don't want to train, don't train. Eat when you want to eat. If you feel like you want to eat a vegetable, eat a vegetable. If you don't, don't. But do you know what? Just have a plan, just have some ideas in your head of what you're going to do sort of come the 10th of January, the 3rd of January, whenever you want to start, whenever you're ready. So it's just about finding that middle ground, and it's about knowing, I think, in your own head what's right for you. And I think that's what we're missing. I think from the last year or the last 2 years is that, like, common sense. Like, I've always been a bit sceptic of PTs, unless it's a group program, like unless it's a, you know, I am advertising a workout program for this specific kind of group of people, and it's like, you know, it's a standard program and everyone's going to be doing the same thing. That's fair enough, because you're advertising it to a specific group of people. People are going to be signing up for that, knowing that they're that kind of person, and that's going to, so it's going to suit their goals. But, you know, PTs who you go to and you pay for a one-to-one program, or you go to the gym and you have one-to-one coaching with it, and they do the same session with every single client that day, really skeptical of, because everyone's different. And, you know, we definitely spent the last couple of years trying to bang a drum about the fact that everybody's different. So, you know, a PT shouldn't be giving the same advice to every single client. They shouldn't be giving the same workouts to every single client. They shouldn't be giving the same nutrition advice if they're giving nutrition advice to every single client. Now, some of it's obviously going to be the same. Some of it's going to overlap. There's obviously lots of generic advice that you can give to people that is going to be helpful to everybody. But when it comes to the specifics, each person has their own nuanced sort of needs, and they're going to have their own things that they need from PT, want from PT, and different kind of goals. So you can't sort of be really, really generic with everybody. And like, so for example, I've worked with people over the last couple of years, some who genuinely really did not lose to lose weight, and who, if they'd have said they wanted to lose weight, I would have absolutely, you know, firmly tried to talk them out of it, because they really needed to at least maintain weight, if not put on weight. Then there were other people who did want to lose weight, and it was perfectly safe and healthy for them to lose weight. And then there were people in the middle who neither wanted to lose weight nor gain weight, just wanted to work on strength and so on and so forth. And so for the advice that I gave them, not just in terms of what workouts they should do or what they should be doing with calories, but the advice just in general about how to approach workouts and how to approach things like Christmas, birthdays and celebrations were different to all of them, because, you know, it's not just the specifics in terms of weights and calories and so on and so forth, but actually your mindset to approaching Christmas, your mindset to approaching training is very different. You know, if you've got somebody who really doesn't enjoy training and is really quite new to training and isn't quite into a habit of training yet, and you know, you're trying to get them into a routine of training, now they might look for excuses to not train, and so therefore you might actually find yourself needing to be really quite strict with, you know, like when you need to train, and encouraging them to train throughout, you know, throughout the year or across the month. But then there are other people who, you know, are actually the complete and opposite other way, and, you know, they maybe overtrain a bit, and they get quite anxious if they don't train. And then there are certain times in the year where you actually almost need to say to them, "Whoa, pull back, you don't need to train today, or you're training too much, or you don't need to do that many sessions in a day." So the advice you give, beyond just workouts and calories as a PT, is really, I suppose, quite specific and quite varied for different clients depending on their needs. And so you as a person are going to resonate with some PTs more than others. You're going to resonate with some messages more than others. And certainly some messages might almost be damaging for you, and others might be positive. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the PT is a bad PT. It just means that the message that they're giving out doesn't suit you. So when you're consuming social media, I think you also need to be really aware of what is good social media for you and what is bad social media for you. You know, that if it's a PT that is specializing in weight loss, their messages are going to be on their social media page very specifically about calorie deficits, about adhering to training. You know, like the messages for like people, PTs like James Smith, like a really famous Instagram PT, give out are aimed at his clients, and they're aimed at his clients, and his clients are normal people who might be a little bit overweight or want to lose weight and aren't like super sick thin, aren't, you know, already training a lot, lifting a lot. And so they are very much almost tough love kind of, do you know what, you need to listen to me. If you're not losing weight, you're not in a calorie deficit. Do you know what, you need to listen to me. Your training splits are not the reason that you're not losing weight. You're not losing weight because you're not in a calorie deficit. And he always gets attacked by people going, "Oh, you shouldn't be saying this because, you know, I've got an eating disorder and this is triggering." He is talking to his demographic. If you do not need to lose weight and maybe need to put weight on, following people like that probably not going to be good for you. You need to look for content to consume that is more focused on other elements with regards to diet or fitness, or maybe even better, not follow anyone at all and go and speak to a nutritionist. But what I'm saying, I suppose, essentially is that we need to start looking sort of more in the middle ground, because looking at one end of diet culture, looking at one end of how you should react after Christmas eating, and looking at the other end, an anti-diet culture and like fuck PT selling programs, is neither camps are particularly helpful for the average person, because we're actually a much more middle ground, and I would consider myself a pretty average person. I'm like fit, I'm not overweight. Equally, do you know what, I have put weight on over the last couple of years, and I could be fitter, I would like to be fitter. I would say I'm a pretty average person, I both like eating, I like training. You know, and neither of those camps on either extreme suit me. You know, I know I want to be in a place right now where I'm not exercising at full capacity. I am moving a little bit. I'm not living off chocolate, but I am still eating quite a bit of it. But I'm just putting a few more extra meals in there that are sort of like actual food. And, you know, I'm not ready to be, right, okay, this is it, focus. I'm going to be working on my goals just yet. I want another week off. But I am thinking about those goals and getting myself excited about them. And you've got to learn, and I think with fitness, because we do this with everything else, you've got to learn to be able to read the room, almost sort of read the post and decide whether or not it's for you or not. And if it's not something that's going to benefit you, either stop following the person, or maybe it's just that post that's not relevant for you, so just ignore it. So I had a conversation before Christmas with someone at work who, English is not their first language. And we were talking about, you know, the English language is bizarre. You know, I don't actually speak any other languages, so maybe this is based on other languages. I don't think it is. But the same word, literally the same word, and I'm not talking about the same words that are spelt the same, but then said differently, but literally the same words we use in different contexts to mean completely different things, almost opposite things. So thinking of the word, for example, knobhead. Now, you might use knobhead to be, do you know what, absolutely hate that person. They are a complete and utter prat. Cannot stand them, do not like them. But equally, a lot of us use the word knobhead to refer to one of our friends in a very endearing, absolutely love them, they're great, God, they're such a knobhead kind of way. And how the person interprets you saying the word knobhead very much depends on how you say it, the tone of your voice. It's not spelled any differently. It's not used any differently in the context of a sentence. God, he's such a knobhead. God, he's such a knobhead. It's entirely in the context of the conversation, who you're talking to, and the tone of your voice. And we, as just like people, obviously, who speak English as a first language, have grown up with English, sort of, I guess, from birth, can just tell. You know what I mean? From just the way it's said, in which context that word is to be taken. But I don't think we always then apply that to other situations. So when you're looking at things on social media about diet and about fitness, I think you can normally, from the context of the message, tell a lot about the PT. So some PTs will, yes, they'll be pushing sort of challenges for losing weight, if losing weight is the thing you want to do. But the same challenge can be used for gaining strength or even gaining weight. It just depends on the context that you want to use it. But what they might do is some adverts, they might push one particular kind of gain you could get from the challenge. But that gain might not particularly apply to you. But there might be other ways you can use that challenge that would apply to you. So you've kind of got to, when you, I think, listen to social media posts, use that context thing in the same way that we would with the English language to be able to assess whether or not you think that a PT is a genuine sort of going to be there for you, kind of good for you kind of PT, or if not. And like I say, if it's not, that doesn't mean they're a bad PT. It just means that they're not for you. And we all specialise in different things, and we all kind of gel with different kinds of clients, so that's fine. So yeah, basically, I kind of wanted to just start, I think, this new series for 2022, last day of 2021, with the kind of message that if you want to lose weight, that's okay. If you don't want to lose weight, that's okay too. If you want to exercise now, so if you have been exercising since the 27th of January, in fact, if you were exercising on the 25th of January, December, that's absolutely fine. And if you haven't moved since Christmas Eve, again, that's okay too. If you haven't moved like the last year, that's okay. You pick a goal that suits you, whatever that may be. And if it's weight loss, it's weight loss. If it's not, it's not. And find a coach that's going to suit you, and then work towards that. And use your own instincts, because there are lots of extremes out there, and everybody's always going to tell you that the plan that they lost weight on is the best because they lost weight on it, but it doesn't mean it's going to suit you. Now, it might suit you, and you might want to train, and it's a great idea to get recommendations from people, because if someone recommends a coach, they probably feel they're pretty good, and if they're pretty good, then they're probably worth checking out. So I can't recommend more going with someone who other people recommend, but you know, just because somebody says, oh my god, I did keto and I lost 4,000 pounds, that's the only way to lose weight. It isn't. You've got to do you, basically. And like, you know, go the instincts, go with what feels right in terms of coaches, in terms of how often you train, in your diet. Listen to advice, take advice, you know. Coaches are there, they're experienced, they're there to give you that advice. But in terms of picking a coach, and deciding your approach, and therefore picking a coach that has an approach that suits you. You know, listen to your go with what feels right. And if everybody else is telling you that's wrong, doesn't really matter as long as it feels right for you. The only thing I would say is try to avoid anything that kind of screams fad at you. Because I don't want to sort of like put any other professional down, but if part of a program involves taking a certain pill or a certain supplement, and that is what the PT is sort of pushing as the thing that's going to get you results, I'd be a little bit skeptical, because while there are certainly decent supplements out there, and you know, and I take supplements on and off. They are supplements. They're not the mainstay of any fitness regime. The word is in the word. They are there to supplement a routine. So that's the only thing I would say, that if your instincts at this time, because you feel a bit fat and grumpy, are to go for a quick fix. That's the only instinct I think I would fight, and go with somebody who's going to give you a bit more of a sustainable and sensible approach, because you genuinely will get better results with that than a quick fix and more longer term results. But other than that, yeah, like, you do you. So hopefully this was food for thought, useful-ish. If you've got any questions, if you want to chat about anything, feel free to get in contact with me. My details are in the podcast blurb. And yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts if you did listen to this. And if you wanted to listen to my thoughts last year and see if they've changed at all, I don't think they have. You can listen to the last episode in series one, episode 28, which was also about New Year diets and resolutions. Anyway, have a really good New Year's Eve, and hopefully an excellent 2022. Speak to you soon.